Thank you, Brother Paul. I'm thankful for that hymn we just sang. No one needs the mercy of God more in a worship service than the preacher. And I'm thankful that he's faithful to be merciful. Thankful for this church. Your brethren in Orlando send their greetings and their love. They appreciate you and your pastor and his wife and Brother Henry and Doris. How special you all have been to our fellowship over the years. We're very thankful. Thankful for you. I have on my pulpit at home Psalm 127, verse 1, taped right there to the pulpit. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And how dependent we are on the Lord to bless His Word to our hearts and reveal to us the person of His dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, if you will, to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And we'll begin reading in verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was with them there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. That's the title of this message. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper. What a wonderful picture of Christ coming into the prison house of sinners and accomplishing for them all their salvation. What we have in this text we just read is the same thing that's taught us from our Lord's words on Calvary's cross when He said, "It is finished." Whatsoever they did there, He was the doer of it. And God made everything that He did to prosper. Now I know that the natural man in his pride and in his self-righteousness loves the idea that he has a free will. He believes himself to be the captain of his own soul. He believes himself to be the master of his own destiny. But the truth is that the natural man is not free. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the Pharisees, said to them, "If you know the truth will set you free." In another place He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you remember what the spirit of the Pharisees was? We'd be Abraham's children. We've never been in bondage to anyone. They believed themselves to be free when they weren't. The natural man is not free. We all, every single one of us, come into this world prisoners to our nature, and willing victims to all the forces of evil that would exploit that sinful nature. We are held captive in our inability to believe God. The God of this world has blinded our eyes to the truth, and we will wholeheartedly believe a lie, even to the eternal damnation of our own souls. The natural man is simply not free. He's not free to believe. He's certainly not free from the penalty of sin. If he's honest, he knows that he's not free from the power of sin. He's not free to love God. He's not free from death. He's not free from hell. He's not free from judgment. He is a slave He is a prisoner to his nature. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. He cannot change. He will not change. Oh, he's always cleaning up the outside of the cup. But the Lord said that though you clean up the outside, the inside is still full of corruption. He said, you are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Here's the natural state of man. Making resolutions, always turning over a new leaf. Becoming religious, garnishing his house with religious garb, learning religious language and putting on morality. He has a form of godliness. But apart from the grace of God, he denies the power thereof. We are not free from the curse of the law. What is it that keeps a criminal in prison? Some have said, well, once he satisfies his requirements to society, then he can be let free. No. No. The jailer can only let the criminal free when the demands of the law have been satisfied. Once they're satisfied, he can no longer keep him. Now, God's law demands full retribution. And we're held captive to that law, under the law. We cannot satisfy its demands. We are in need of God's mercy. And the more man does in his own self-righteousness to try to satisfy the demands of God's law, the more sinful he becomes. The more guilty he becomes before God. Left to ourselves, we are held in the prison of God's justice until the law is satisfied. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Man-made religion keeps men in bondage to a lie. The religion of man is not based on the Lord Jesus Christ being the doer of all our righteousness, all of our acceptance before God. Man-made religion is based on something that you do. Man-made religion is based upon a decision that you make. God votes for you, the devil votes against you, you break the tie. That's man-made religion. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the doer of it. In fact, you are the doer of it. Man-made religion is based upon the need of Christ, but not the sufficiency of Christ. Oh, you've got to have Jesus as your Savior, but Jesus as your Savior is not enough. You've got to make your contribution. The difference between the truth of the gospel and the lie of the soul-damning, man-centered gospel is the difference between do and done. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Man-made religion is not only based upon a decision that you make or a law that you keep, a work that you perform, something that you abstain from, or a church that you join, some ceremony that you participate in. It's all about what man can do. Brother Burt read from Isaiah chapter 61. The same truth is repeated in Isaiah chapter 42, where the Scripture says that the Lord Jesus came in order to set at liberty them who are bruised, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness from the prison house. He came to lead captivity captive. He came to take those who are slaves to sin and make them servants of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against me. I will reach into the very fiery pit of a devil's hell and snatch from destruction my people. I'll do it. I'm the doer of it. And he did. What a beautiful picture Joseph is of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. Joseph, the chosen son of his father, the one loved particularly. And in Isaiah chapter 42, the Lord says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." Jacob gave Joseph a coat that distinguished him from all of his other brothers. And it inspired jealousy in the hearts of his brothers, did it not? "They hated me without a cause." All of the hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ is because of one thing: jealousy. Jealousy. "We'll not have this man reign over us. We're not going to share our glory with him. We're not going to ascribe to him all the work of our salvation. We've got to make some contribution." And because men are jealous of Christ, even as Joseph's brothers were of him, they hate him. They hate him. Joseph was sold into slavery, 20 pieces of silver. And like the Lord Jesus Christ, he went down into Egypt. And Potiphar, the captain of the guard, the enforcer of the law, is the one who made Joseph to be his servant. And he bought him from the Ishmaelites. You remember Joseph's brother sold him to the Ishmaelites. If you go to Galatians chapter 4, you'll find that Ishmael is a picture of the law. So here we have Joseph being sold by the law to the law keeper, being inspected by the all-seeing brightness of God's law. And now accused, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he's thrown into prison. Interprets the secrets of the baker and the butler, you remember, and then interprets the dream of Pharaoh himself, and is delivered from prison, becomes the prime minister of Egypt and the keeper of the storehouses, and delivers the bread to the children and saves all of Israel. Here in the life of Joseph, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our text, we find Joseph being put into prison. Let's read it again. Look at verse 22. "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Now here we have a picture of God the Father, who provided for the Lord Jesus Christ a body thou hast prepared for me, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are judged guilty by that same law. Having been tried and tested by the law of God, he was found innocent. Found innocent. And yet he was charged guilty, not for his own sins, but for the sins of his people. Bearing them in his body upon that tree and suffering the full wrath of God's judgment in order to satisfy divine justice once and for all. Whatsoever he did there, whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything. God the Father didn't have to worry about what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. He put full confidence in him. He gave him the prison and the prisoners. And the prisoners. And everything he did, he prospered. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it in election. Now I know men like to think that that they choose Christ, but the truth is that you did not choose me. I chose you. Before the foundation of the world, God dipped his divine finger in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and wrote the names of those whom he chose according to his own good pleasure and will in the Lamb's Book of Life. Established a covenant of grace that could not be changed. That's why King David in his dying words said, "Oh Lord, although it be not so with my house, although the tabernacle of this flesh be not as it ought to be, and although my house be not as it ought to be, yet thou hast made with me an everlasting covenant, and that covenant is ordered in all things and sure." Why is it ordered in all things and sure? Because whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. Whatsoever he did, he prospered in. David went on to say, "This is all my salvation and all my desire, though he make it not to grow. This is my hope." What a gospel. This is the summary of the gospel. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. We didn't choose him. You know, we're in the midst of a political campaign. And I'm reminded what the Lord told Daniel when he said that he sets over the nations the basest of men. We ought not to be surprised by the things that are exposed in the lives of politicians. But what a pitiful career. I'm sorry. It's just pitiful to see men begging for other men to vote for them. Choose me. Choose me. Pick me. What a pitiful way to have to live. You know, men think that God's that way. He's not running for office. He already occupies the highest throne that there is in all the universe, and he has no competition. He's not saying to you and me, "Pick me." Men by nature have an idol factory working in their own darkened imaginations, and in that idol factory they have fashioned a god that needs them to do something. I'm telling you, whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. He was the doer of it. God's not waiting for you to choose him. When he's ready for you to come to him, he'll make you willing in the day of his power. He'll give you ears to hear. When we come to Christ, it's because he did a work of grace in our hearts. And so that whatsoever we do as the prisoners of our own nature and of our own sin, he is the doer of it. He gets the glory for us coming, doesn't he? Why? Because he chose us in the covenant of grace before the world began. Whatsoever they do, he's the doer of it. No, he's not running for office. He's the potter. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And as the potter, he has the sovereign right to take from the lump of humanity and make some vessels of honor and some of dishonor. And no man can say unto him, "What doest thou?" No man. If we're enabled to come to Christ, it's because he's the doer of it. No, he's... This idea of, "Won't you choose Jesus? Won't you accept Jesus?" We used to sing this song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." What heresy. What soul-damning heresy. What shame that we cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of glory, who is the doer of whatever we do. In election, he's the doer of it. In righteousness, he's the doer of it. We are at all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness is as filthy rags. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the feet even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. David said, "I will make mention of thy righteousness and of thine only." If we have any acceptance before God, it's because he has imputed to us, charged to our account, credited to us a righteousness that he worked out. Having been tried and inspected by the law of God, he came out sinless, perfect, righteous before God. He's called the Lord our righteousness. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, the Scripture calls the church She, you know the passage in Jeremiah 23, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, and in Jeremiah 33, and she, speaking of the church, shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Where did we get that righteousness? There's only one robe that's white and clean. It's His righteousness. We have none of our own. If we have any, He's the doer of it. Whatsoever they did there, He's the doer of it. Paul put it like this, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, every modern paraphrase, they're not translations. Every modern paraphrase of the Word of God has changed that verse of Scripture. Every single one of them. From the faith of Jesus Christ to your faith in Jesus Christ. No. Whatsoever they did there, He was the doer of it. You see, our faith is not something we've come up with. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of our works, lest any man should boast. If we have faith, it's because He gave us His faith. He gave us His faith. Faith is not the condition for salvation. Now listen very carefully. You know this. I know your pastor's taught you this well. It's not the condition for salvation. It's not the cause of salvation. It is the result of salvation. When God does a work of grace, regenerating our hearts, giving to us His Spirit, He causes us to believe. Lord, if You'll turn me, I'll be turned. Lord, if You'll cause me to come, I'll come. Coming to Christ is a work of grace, so that every child of God is able to say, whatsoever I did, He was the doer of it. I was held in prison. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was hated without a cause, came into the prison where I was held, and He led captivity captive to Himself. And now I'm a servant of Christ. And He gets all the glory, for He did it all. Whatsoever they did, He was the doer of it. Oh, we have faith, but it's because He gave it to us. He maintains it. Why is it that you can't stop believing? How many times have you tried? Today, how many times have you tried to stop believing? How many times have you taken your eyes off of Christ? But you can't do it, can you? Why not? Because to whom coming causes us to keep coming back. We just can't quit believing, can we? Believers can't stop believing. Why? Because He won't let them. He just keeps giving them faith. So that the child of God can say, whatsoever I've done, He's the doer of it. I'd quit believing if He didn't cause me to believe. If He didn't keep me coming, I'd leave. You don't believe that about yourself. You don't understand yourself. And you don't understand salvation. If you don't think you could walk away from the gospel, walk away from Christ, better men than you have. They went out from us, for they were never of us. But had they been of us, they would have remained. Oh, how dependent we are for Him to be the doer of our righteousness, of our faith, our justification before God. Whatever we have, He's got to do it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's His faith, isn't it? Lord, if you don't make me believe, I'll quit. I'll stop believing. Lord, I can rejoice in knowing that whatsoever I've done, You are the doer of it. What about good works? What about good works? Do believers do good works? Yes. Yes. Do they glory in them? Do they acknowledge them? You just spend some time around religious folks, and what are they going to, they're going to start telling you about all the good things they're doing for Jesus, aren't they? And what do we see? What's so refreshing about the gospel church, the true gospel church, is that everybody in the church knows what they are. And they're not competing with one another, and they're not trying to prove anything to each other, and they're not using the law to motivate one another or to monitor themselves or to measure their righteousness. They're not doing it, are they? But that's not the case in religion. Some of you, like me, spent years in self-righteous, pharisaical, works religion. And what was it all about? Holier than thou. Seeing who was better than the next person. Believing that we were the doer of it. Not in church. Whatsoever they did there, He was the doer of it. Yes, there's good works and others are blessed by them, but it is Christ that works in you, causing you to will and to do His good pleasure. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath ordained that we should walk in them. He's the doer of it. He gets all the glory. Believers don't go around boasting in what they're doing. What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do live. But the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me, so that whatsoever I do, He's the doer of it. I am what I am by the grace of God. Left to myself, I'm in the prison of my own sin. I'm in the prison of my inability to believe. I'm in the prison of the law. I'm in the prison of God's judgment. I'm under the wrath of God. But in Christ, the one in whom His hands prospered in whatever He did, I can say that whatever I do, He's the doer of it. He's the doer of it. Salvation is of the Lord. In election, in regeneration, in sanctification, in good works, in faith, in righteousness, He's the doer of it. He restrains our evil. He puts the love of Christ in our hearts. Sanctification. Oh, there are those who say, well, you're saved by grace, but then, you know, here's the line. The law is your schoolmaster, takes you to Christ. But then once it does its work in taking you to Christ, now Christ takes you back to the law, and the law becomes your rule of life. And now you measure yourself by the law, and you monitor yourself by the law. You know that is exactly what the heresy of Galatia was? And out of all the churches Paul feared, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? This one thing I want to ask you. Did you begin by works or by the Spirit? If you began by the Spirit, do you think you're going to continue by works? Our sanctification is not based on our cooperation or participation. It's the Lord working in us. Paul put it like this when he said, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Him? How did you receive? How did you come to Christ? As a mercy-begging, dead dog sinner. If you came to Christ, that's how you came. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Do we ever get beyond being a mercy-begging, dead dog sinner? Do we? No. Why? Because whatsoever we do, He's the doer of it. He's the doer of it. This matter of sanctification is not cooperation. We must die all the day long. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. No, we just keep coming, don't we? My grace is sufficient for thee. He's the doer of our sanctification. He's the doer of our election. He's the doer of our righteousness. He's the doer of our faith. He's the doer of our glorification. How are we going to get to heaven if He doesn't get us there? All the riches of God's blessings are in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. If we get there, He's going to be the doer of it. Isn't that what He told the disciples? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But Lord, we don't know the way. Oh, yes, you do. You know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do to prepare a way for us? Has He been in heaven for 2,000 years getting it ready for you? No. The moment that He presented His resurrected body to the Father and the names of those for whom He lived and died. The Scripture says, "My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that for which I send it." And we know that's true in the preached word, in the written word, but it's particularly true in the living word. When the Lord Jesus Christ returned back to the Father, He didn't return void. He returned with the names of those that God had chosen, the covenant of grace. He returned with the names of those for whom He lived out a righteousness. He returned to God with the names of those for whom He died on Calvary's cross. He delivered our names to God Almighty. Those whom He foreknew, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And them that He predestinated, He also called. And them that He called, He justified. And them that He justified, He glorified. So that whatsoever we do, He is the doer of it. That's the heart and soul of the gospel. Here we are by nature, in a prison of our own sin. And the one who was accused falsely came into that prison. He entered into a sin-sick world. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves, satisfying all demands of righteousness and justice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the doer of our salvation. And that means you can't do anything. Don't lift a finger. Don't make a contribution. Don't look to something other than Christ. We rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Why? Because everything that the prison keeper gave him to do, he prospered in it. He prospered in it. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 as we close. 42. Isaiah chapter 42. What a glorious Savior we serve. What a great God we have. Oh, the little make-believe God of self-righteousness. The God who men portray as wanting to save you, but can't unless you let Him. That's not the God of glory. That's not the God who is. That's a figment of men's imagination. That's a God that men have fashioned in the idol factory of their own mind. Here's the God who is. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. "Behold," God says, "my servant." Who's He speaking of? He's speaking of none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. "The one whom I uphold, mine elect, the firstborn among many brethren, is he not? In whom my soul delighteth. Oh, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. He's going to be the, if you're going to be saved, he's going to be the doer of it. He's going to be the doer. Here's the message of the gospel. He's going to do it all, or he won't do it at all. And it's just that plain. It's just that plain. He's going to get all the glory. How do we discern the difference between the true gospel and the false gospel? Just ask yourself this question. Who gets all the glory? Who gets all the glory? I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment. This matter of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the full power of the Spirit of God, he's called the Anointed One. He's called the Messiah. He's also referred to as the Christ. It all means the same thing. And the glorious truth of it is that God Almighty sent the Lord Jesus Christ on a mission to accomplish the salvation of the elect and anointed him with the full power of the Spirit of God. Why? So that he could not fail. He could not fail. Look at the next verse. He shall not cry. Oh, he's not like a politician. Oh, these politicians, aren't they just sad sorts? And they're just begging, oh, vote for me. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He shall not cry, nor lift up or cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's not begging men to let him have his way. Why? Because when he's ready to have his way in your life, he'll be the doer of it. It's just... He'll be the doer of it. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Now, flax is what they used as a wick in an oil candle, oil lamp. And you know, when that lamp gets low on oil, the wick begins to burn until it's just an ember. And in most cases, what do? Psst. You put it out, don't you? Not him. You ever been just a flicker of an ember left on the flax and the oil's run dry? He'll not quench burning flax. He won't do it. No, to the contrary. You know what he does? He puts oil in the lamp. He takes the breath of his spirit. He blows on that wick till the flame comes back. He's not going to let it go out. He's the doer of it. He's the doer of it. Look at verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait in his law. He's going to get everyone that God chose in the covenant of grace before the world began, everyone for whom he died, the Spirit of God, is going to be successful. Bringing life to every prisoner. Going to prosper in his hand. He's not discouraged. And he cannot fail. Can you say, whatsoever I have, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Joseph, is the doer of it. He's the doer of it.